Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Ed and Wesley, and now we welcome Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Good morning, everybody, and afternoon.
And Steve does have the very nice-looking Paisley
shirt. Thank you, rocking the Paisley today.
You got the gold and black, and it's looking like
a
New Orleans Saints fan.
Gold, black, white, and gray, silver. Looks nice.
I was a Saints fan only as long as
Derek Carr.
Derek Carr was a quarterback.
He retired.
He did.
Yeah. Yeah, but so you go back to being a Raiders fan.
I was still a Raiders fan the whole time.
Will the Raiders ever come back to prominence? Because I miss those guys.
Me too.
You know what I'm saying? They were watching Kenny Stabler and Freddie Biletnikoff. And
man, they had some great defenders.
Oh, man. The Raiders of the 70s?
Yeah.
Oh,
they
Cliff Branch.
He was a wide receiver.
Hendricks. What was it?
Ted Hendricks.
Ted the Stork.
The Stork. Yeah.
Huh, they were.
Otis Sistrunk.
They won a couple Super Bowls, right?
Yep. They won two in the 70s with that set, and they won one in the 80s.
John Madden, how long was he their coach?
He left in like the late 70s or early 80s.
Then he went on to broadcast fame on CBS with Pat Summerall.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Bam.
Yeah.
He was wonderful.
Tom Flores was the Super Bowl coach that won the second Super Bowl with him, the third.
Do you know John Madden, the legendary football coach and then CBS announcer who – I don't know anybody who didn't like him calling games, right? He was great. I always looked forward to him calling a game. But he would he was terrified of flying.
Yes.
That's true. He had the Madden bus.
Yeah.
He had the Madden bus, and he would take that all over the it didn't matter if they were playing in Seattle and the next week they were in Miami. He was on that bus.
Yes.
Going there, huh?
And who was the main play-by-play caller that he'd work with?
Pat Summerall.
Pat Summerall, yeah.
Now,
Summerall
and CBS often – was it CBS they were with at the beginning?
It was CBS, yeah. Yeah.
They often had the Pro Bowl in Honolulu, and he wouldn't go. You can't drive a bus
Wesley, let's do a baby boomer check on Wesley. You're a millennial, right?
That's
is that your category? Okay, so do the names Pat Summerall and John Madden mean anything to you?
Only John Madden, and that's because when I grew up playing Nintendo, that's right, he was the front cover and the voiceover to almost
the popular video football game, right?
I would say he probably made a little bit of money from doing that.
Oh, my word.
Yes.
Because he was on – his voiceover was on all Nintendo's, PlayStation –
His grandchildren's grandchildren are set for life.
Because they had a college version
They did.
With the John Madden College. Mm-hmm.
Isn't football. It still out today? Is it still called Madden?
It is.
Still called Madden.
And it's still like a curse to be on the cover? On the cover.
That's right. Yeah, if you're Heisman projection on the cover and then...
You fade.
Break
your leg or something.
All
right, so Steve, we were talking before the... before the break about John MacArthur.
Pastor John MacArthur passed away yesterday at about 6 o'clock in the evening. I had some conversations text-wise with Jenna Ellis, who was his attorney.
That's right. I forgot about
she
that.
She represented him
battle with the state
California
of California
during the COVID. What I think will probably be his lasting legacy, almost – disappointingly, because he was such a strong Bible teacher for so many years and steadfast in everything he did, just firmly rooted to his understanding of biblical truth, unmovable, and that is his legacy. But what he will, in fact, I was just speaking a little while ago with Dr. Richard Land, but I also had a conversation, and I can't remember who was with them. Bishop E.W. Jackson. Remember? Our former noontime host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
He filled in for Jenna Ellis and did this morning.
I think. There you go. I had a conversation with him, and we had a talk about the legacy of John MacArthur.
I think in many ways he led the way. I think he really inspired other pastors to step up and realize that we do not have to obey the government when the government is violating our commitment and our first loyalty to Almighty God. And praise God that he did, because I think he unleashed a lot of spiritual courage and energy to resist what the government was trying to do, not only in California, but across the country.
He was 85 years old.
86, I believe.
86, okay.
According to Fox News, he was 86. Okay.
86 years old. John MacArthur, he had a Bible college.
Master's seminary, and he had master's college. He started the college and then added the seminary.
Where was his church?
In Southern California, Sun Valley, which is kind of Pasadena area.
I got you.
Two books that I still have that I read that John MacArthur wrote, The Gospel According to Jesus and The Gospel According to the Apostles. Woo! Man, they were... He was such a solid Bible teacher. He did not shrink away from just saying and teaching what the Bible says. But both of those books are really strong on the expectation that you're supposed to, as a Christian, you're supposed to obey Jesus as Lord. Now, I know there's some controversies over lordship, salvation, and all that kind of stuff.
There is?
Well, yeah.
What is that?
Lordship, salvation is the idea that you come to Jesus as Savior and Lord, and you must obey Christ if you are truly a Christian. Now, that is the counter argument to that is, are you saying that works contribute to your salvation? And I'm just going to put that out there. I'm not getting into that right now.
No, go ahead. We'll be back. We'll leave you alone. You just go for it, man.
We'll be back in 10 minutes.
But he is, let me just say at least this, he is exactly right that the expectation of the writers, of Jesus himself and the writers in the New Testament, is that Christians strive to obey Jesus as Lord.
Yeah.
And there's really no thought that a person would say, yes, I believe in Jesus as Savior, and then continue to live a sinful life. That's to me, is the clear teaching of the New Testament.
One of the things that I like most about him is that later on, toward the last 7 or 8 years of his ministry, he became that much more, well, at least to my knowledge, to me, he was more vocal in things of everyday life. Yeah, I guess he had a platform that extended beyond his church. And so when he would speak on issues such as what Chip and Joanne just did, Gaines.
Yeah.
And when he spoke on issues like that in response to other Christians, he didn't leave any room to have to go, what does he mean by that?
Yes.
Or why would he say it like that? Yeah. Or was he trying to pick, I don't understand. He made it to where it was crystal clear. He would be really good. I know he probably wasn't just the biggest on social media. I don't know if he was or wasn't. Or maybe he had somebody that ran it for him. I know this, though. He spoke in a tweet, okay? I mean, it was crystal clear as far as what he was trying to say.
Now, his show, Brent Creeley, come on. When does his show air?
We air it weekday evenings at 10 p.m. Central. Grace to you.
Grace to you with Dr. John MacArthur. It's interesting because... Now, he did mix it up sometimes within the evangelical Christian world.
Yeah, yeah.
He did not believe in what we do.
He did at one time.
Yes, at one at well,
not what we do believe in. He do not believe in our mission.
Yes, he did not believe Christians should be involved in the culture or
politics.
Or politics.
I think it was politics.
Can I tell you the story about that?
Yeah.
Real quickly. Okay.
So, and that was at one point, because I said, the last 7 or 8 years of his ministry was a lot different than his first.
So, because I remember, I think I wrote him a letter, I talked to somebody in his office. Anyway, this would have been back in the 80s or 90s, talking about Dr. John MacArthur. And he had written a book then called Why Government Can't Save You.
Yes.
Okay, and basically the theme of the book was discrediting Christian activism in politics. That was...
It's a waste of time.
Waste of time. We need to be concentrating on the gospel message, getting that out there. And so you're moralizing, this was his approach, and it was critical. So he wrote Why Government Can't Save You. And, of course, I don't know anybody in our movement who says government can save you.
Right.
Because that's a straw man argument, which was surprising for a guy as smart as he was.
Yeah.
I understood what he was trying to say in that, you know, our emphasis and focus as a church should be on the gospel message.
Right.
But it's like I wrote him, part of the gospel message is, well, not the gospel message in the sense of personal salvation, but the broader Christian worldview gospel message is for Christians to be engaged and involved. And if we want to have freedom and liberty in America, we need people who, we don't need to leave our elections up to just pagans,
right.
The choice between two pagans, you know, because they're going to come back on us.
Right. And they did on him.
And, oh, this is what I'm getting to. So that was my argument that and a lot of people's, why the, can you remember that was the rise of what was called the religious right at the time?
Yes.
Pejoratively by the media. It was really Christian conservatives saying, hey, wait a minute, we've got to get involved in government and politics or we're going to lose our country. And so that's all that was. So there were so many people that got involved. So, but John MacArthur wasn't involved in this, and he was critical of it. And so that's why I disagreed with him. Now, interesting, he sort of came full circle. Now, he would say what his argument was we don't need to be involved in the government unless the government tells you you must do evil.
Yeah.
Okay? Which I thought was a pathetic argument for a guy so smart.
Right.
But so unless the government tells you you must do something that's against the Bible, you're not to object to them. That's what
stay out of it.
Stay out of it. Stay out of it. But interesting, during COVID, he did the opposite. He wouldn't say I did the opposite. He would say, I resisted. I resisted government oppression.
The government's asking me to do something the Bible clearly asks.
That's right. That's right. And so he and his church, including Jenna, his lawyer, stood up to it, and we applauded him.
And but they won.
They won.
Yeah. He would say, I didn't come to government. Government came to me.
Well, yeah. There's been a couple instances, though, he's done that. He did that with the school, but also he did that during COVID, if you remember.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're conflating the two. I think Jenna covered his COVID.
She did.
Lockdown.
I think so.
Well, do you not remember too?
Three years before. The state wanted to impose something on his school.
It was the LGBT.
That's true. No. Stuff.
Yeah, that's what got him more involved in. Now also give him more credit than that because I listened to multiple interviews and he was on our radio network multiple times on this issue. He was actually from a systematic way backtracking. Okay.
Yeah.
He was saying to himself, okay, well, we're not going to. I'm gonna be careful putting words in John MacArthur's mouth, but I will say what I understood from him is we're not doing this because it completely violates my Christian conscience, so we're not gonna do it.
Right.
However, how did my Christian conscience get violated? Okay, well, this person was elected. Well, okay, yeah. Well then, why don't we get involved in electing someone who's not going to violate my Christian conscience? So I do believe he got more and more involved in understanding the systematic way. Now, again, I learned a lot from him, and I just appreciate his shift. I appreciate all about him, but especially that shift of understanding that there is value and there is a call to Christians, and we're compelled by what we believe in the Bible to stand in the gap for our families, for our communities, for our country, and whatever means God's given us.
Okay, I'll tell you what, again, when you think about somebody like John MacArthur, you have to encompass his whole life's ministry. I mean, you're talking about 50-plus years or something like that?
Yeah.
So when I'm quoting the one or two controversies, I'm not disparaging his overall ministry in any way. I'm just saying this happened along the way.
These are things people in our listening will remember.
Okay, but this is what, in his book, Why Government Can't Save You, which was published in 2000, I think, he says, the Lord did not come as a political deliverer or social reformer. He did not rally supporters in a grandiose attempt to, quote, capture the culture for morality or greater political or religious freedom. Rather, his divine calling was to rescue the lost souls of individual men and women from sin and hell. In Why Government Can't Save You, An Alternative to Political Activism, John MacArthur illustrates through Scripture that regardless of the numerous immoral, unjust, and ungodly failures of secular government, believers are to pray and seek to influence the world for Christ by godly, selfless, and peaceful living under the authority, not by protest against government or by acts of civil disobedience, which is what he did later.
Yeah.
Sort of practice civil disobedience.
Give him credit.
For that. I'm just saying. So I thought this book was unnecessary and too critical of our movement coming from our brother. But because you have to be involved in politics and government or you leave all the decisions up to the pagans.
Right. It only makes sense. You also have to jettison some of the most consequential movements in world history, like the movement to eliminate slavery.
Right.
And I don't know any Christian of any stripe. I'm sure if you asked John MacArthur, I don't want to put words in his mouth. If Christians have an opportunity to vote for a bill that would end sex trafficking, are you saying that we shouldn't do it?
Right.
I don't think that he would say no. Just it's none of our business. So you know the movement to eliminate the Jim Crow laws in the South, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. These are some of the most consequential movements in world history.
You know, another thing
driven by Christians.
Another thing that makes this topic far more complex is the fact that we live in a republic where you can vote.
Right. Yeah. Not a dictatorship. We can have an influence.
A lot of what was written in scriptures that he referenced as far as government, some of that only best applies when you live under a king.
Yeah, which is what Caesar was.
Yes, exactly. But when you live under what we have is an exception, which is why we call it American exceptionalism. There's a few other countries similar, but really, historically speaking, there's been none with the First Amendment, Second Amendment, and so that does matter.
I haven't read the book, and I take your reduction of it as what it says. But from what you read, my thought is that protest and like that kind of activity is not at the heart of our activism. We work within the system. You don't see conservatives blocking roadways or
Right.
Well, Operation Rescue did. They blocked the interest.
There's some exceptions in there.
Yeah.
True. I understand what you're saying.
Again, here's what he said, talking about John MacArthur. This is quoting him. To devote all or even most of our time, energy, money, and strategy to putting a facade of morality on the world or the appearance of rightness over our government and political institutions is to badly misunderstand our roles as Christians in a spiritually lost world. So, again, I'm just saying along the way there were a few
There's the differences of opinion.
Right.
I mentioned the fact that he is from the Calvinist camp, and there are Arminians, and they're going to – guess what? They're going to fight over their particular perspectives until Jesus comes back. So Christians are going to have – listen, I
– Which side do you choose, Ed?
I
John MacArthur has been corrected.
Go for it, Ed.
I'm not taking the bait. I saw you tapping Steve on the arm and saying, hey, watch this.
We're going to go get the popcorn. Come back.
My sisters and I argued all the time, okay? But we're family. And that's the way I view some of the disagreements inside the church where people will argue and you're a heretic. No, you're a heretic. Well, guess what? Those battles are going to continue.
Well, John MacArthur, I give him a lot of credit. One, he made a shift more towards what, you know, less critical of what the things we do. But also, too, the core issues that were degrading America, he was very bold on.
Yeah, he was on Fox News a lot, taking a righteous stand. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I commend him absolutely for that.
He would take a stand against abortion.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Abortion. He never said yes. Go to a gay wedding and take a gift with you.
Right.
Okay, so he never said anything like that. And
yeah, no.
So give him
probably anyway. Wasn't watching Chip and Joanna Gaines either at this point.
No.
No. So anyway, sad. Sad, but, you know, he's 86.
Yeah.
And so
he had a very fruitful ministry.
Celebrate his life.
Yep. Next story, Steve.
All right. Donald Trump had another victory at the Supreme Court yesterday as the justices minus one It was an unsigned order, but there was a dissent from Justice Sonia Sotomayor.
Really?
They are allowing him to carry out his mass layoffs at the Department of Education. The argument has been that only Congress can get rid of the Department of Education. I don't know that Donald Trump, I think he agrees that they can't, like, get rid of it. But if nobody's working in an empty building, all the workers work for him.
So the Supreme Court said that the president, the executive branch, can dismantle.
Can dismiss.
The employees of.
Yeah. So they got an email which said the department appreciates, these are the employees, got an email and said the department appreciates your service and recognizes the difficulty at this moment. This RIF, reduction in force action, is not a reflection on your performance or conduct and is solely due to agency restructuring as described in previous correspondence.
Yeah, well, the Department of Education is notoriously far left.
Right.
Okay, and it's a bureaucracy that's unnecessary. You can take the money if you want to take the money. You can just cut the money, put the money toward our debt, or you can take the money that would otherwise go to the Department of Education from the federal government and distribute that money to the states and let them administer it. Administrate it. That's the best way to go. We don't need the federal government doing anything.
Well, it's expanded its role,
right?
Even on the local and state level,
right?
You know, issuing, you know, this dictate and
right.
this dictate, and
from Washington D.C.
You're going to do this and you're going to do that,
and they're almost always liberal, yes. always in their policy. So yeah, so. We can do without the Department of Education, you know.
Now, it's not completely eliminated.
There is right. a Department of Education on yeah. the books. Just very
it's
few people work there.
It's going to be a quiet building.
Yes.
Okay. You're going to be able to hear the vacuum cleaner from the second floor.
Yes.
Okay. Next story,
all
Steve.
Right.
We've got 1 minute.
Yeah. Let's just talk real quickly. Good news at the United Nations. The United Nations has gotten rid of its standing committee that was critical of Israel. There was a permanent inquiry committee of inquiry on Israel under their Human Rights Council. All the members have resigned, they say, due to pressure from Donald Trump, who put one of their members on sanctions because he was a strong supporter of Hamas. The others resigned. There seems to be some sense coming back to the United Nations. The anti-Semitism is still there, but it is losing influence at the United Nations. This is a good sign.
Well, and tip of the hat to President Trump. Listen, the guy gets stuff done.
Yeah, buddy.
I mean, he just says this is the way it's going to be. He's not afraid to put pressure on international organizations, like in this case. And when he does stuff like this, I just admire his work.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah. All right. Well, you're listening to Today's Issues. Our time is, when will the music click in?
Well, 2 seconds.
10 seconds. There it is.
Economy is falling apart because of all the tariffs he did.
That's right.
I think everything's going great.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow on Today's Issues, this program, a very special edition. Ed Vitagliano will take on predestination versus the free will of man.
There you go.
Absolutely.
And,
you want to stay tuned
and
for that.
He'll be here for an hour and a half.
I will settle the role of women in the church.
You'll need two bags of popcorn for that,
Yeah, so we'll be here to cheer you on, Ed.
And then I will solve all the problems.
The role of women in the church.
Eschatology.
And then Friday, tongues. So stay tuned as Ed deals with all
the age-old questions that have afflicted us.
All right. See you tomorrow, everybody.